This is Jay Sekulow, your input on America's tax reform.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody, we thought we'd do a little something a little bit different on this Friday. So we gave you the framework of the tax reform proposal that the president's talking about, and that is, as he called, the most significant tax reform in a generation. We want to know what you think about some of these issues because it's a framework. It is not the law. There's not a lot of it has not been filled in. We know, for instance, there's three brackets. We don't have, and he's leaving it to Congress to determine when those three brackets kick in. There's no longer will there be a state income tax deduction. That's raised some issues. And at the same time, though, the standard deduction would be raised from $12,000 to $24,000. So to get to that threshold where you'd be itemizing is it doubles. So that could mean that the state income tax deduction is not as important. But here's the issue. The American people have a lot to say about it, which means you have a lot to say about it. So we want to discuss it and open this conversation up to you all early, make this interactive both on our social media platforms and, of course, on radio. So we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Quickly, the here's what the basics are. Three rates instead of 7, 12, 25, and 35 is the top end. There may be a fourth tier for people that make in excess of $4 million. That is will be, again, kind of left to Congress. We don't know where the 12, 25, and 35% would kick in. Also, it doubles the deduction, what's called the standard deduction, from $12,000 to $24,000 for a family, and also increases the child tax credit. It does eliminate loopholes, but it also repeals the estate tax, what's called the death tax, which is very important for small businesses and for closely held companies, because sometimes passing those businesses on are just cost prohibitive because of the taxes. Now, the real concern area has been, what does this mean for state income tax deductions, which they're eliminating under this proposal right now? And also, it does allow charitable contributions and mortgage deduction for your interest there. So that's kind of the framework. But there's already you're already seeing Republicans, some Democrats too, pushing back on this.
Yeah, and one of those issues is one we talked about a lot yesterday on the broadcast. Some people calling in from blue states. Remember, there's part of this you are not allowed to deduct anymore your state and local taxes, so your state and municipal taxes. And that really is a blue state issue. But and though there may not be as many senators from blue states, there are plenty of House Republicans from blue states. In fact, in the top nine states for the state and local deduction, measured as a percentage of income, there are 33 House Republicans from those top nine states, with one vacancy. So the Republicans on this current plan could only lose 22 GOP votes, and it would probably come from those 33. People like Congressman Pete King, for instance, out of New York, is a very strong supporter of President Trump. But as he said, you know, his constituents on Long Island would still, by taking this deduction away, would be hit very hard. So the question is explaining to those people and getting out the information. And, of course, adding meat. If you add some meat and are able to, at least for those folks who are in those very high tax places, break even on this,
yeah,
then I think it's a good tax plan because of the corporate tax.
And reduces the income business, and right. Reduces the percentage.
And then I think it puts pressure on those blue states also to get their act together.
Yeah.
Long term, I think that they're to be competitive amongst the 50 states, they're probably going to have to lower their tax rates.
I think that's right. And that's part of the plan here, I think, is to get these states to be more accountable and more productive. All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Logan, everyone know how they can start engaging, both on the phones and on social media platforms.
Yeah,
as well.
Phone lines have opened up, 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. You can also get your comments in online. A lot of people talking about the tax plan. Joseph said he doesn't believe this tax plan will pass. That's something we can talk about.
Yeah, well, there's going to be a fight. I will tell you that, no question, there's going to be a fight. I could rest assured. The fight is already starting, and both internally within the Republican Party and externally with the Democrats. So there's going to be fighting here. All right, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110 in just a moment. Stay tuned.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
All right, so here's what we've got. I'm going to let Dan Bennett address this. We've got a framework that's been put forward by the White House for tax reform. President calls it the most significant tax reform in a generation. And it goes down, as I said, to three basic tax tiers, 12%, 25%, and 35%, doubles the standard deduction to $24,000 for a family. But understand what that means. It means if you take the standard deduction, you're not itemizing. That's how that works. So, in other words, if you take the $24,000 deduction, you're doing that because your itemized deductions, even with your state income tax, didn't reach $24,000, which you got to understand. That's why the state income tax is not as, I mean, I know it's a big deal and it's a big issue, but it's not as significant when you do the math on it. And this is coming from someone that has been a tax lawyer for a long time. I have been. Also, again, repeals the estate tax. Dan, let's get everybody up to speed, though, in Washington, kind of what the reaction's been so far in Capitol Hill.
Well, the reason it had momentum right out of the gate, Jay, is because the Trump administration and House and Senate leadership, including the relevant committees, were on the same page when this framework rolled out. That didn't happen with Obamacare. It did happen on this one, so it gave it more momentum. But most of the oxygen on the first day of this debate, Jay, has been on those state and local taxes, deductions. Jordan rolled this out in the first segment. There are some blue states with high taxes who don't think that that would fare well for them. But again, we said this on yesterday's broadcast. Those are the details and the numbers that will have to be crunched in committee when we know exactly where these brackets fall. Some of these concerns might go away when those numbers come out. But again, we need to know where those numbers are before we can tell people precisely how it would impact them.
You know, the president's idea here is to both also reduce the tax burden on the American people and on corporations so that we can increase jobs and manufacturing in the United States. This is what he said just literally moments ago, number 25.
On every front, in every way, on every policy, we are guided by the same economic goal: to keep jobs in America, to bring jobs to America, to create real prosperity for America, the country that we love.
All right, so there you have it. That's kind of the framework or the moral base of what the president's trying to put forward here, and that is bringing jobs to America to create real prosperity for America, and that would help everyone. Now, having said that, you've got to now fill in the gaps on what the legal issues are going to be here as far as what the law is going to actually look like. So that's one of the things we're delving into. Let me also say this. We're taking a bit of an informal poll. Logan's going to explain what we want you to do. Those of you that are watching or listening on Facebook or Periscope or watching on whether you're for the plan or not for the plan, if you're opposed or in favor.
Yeah, just put in the comments below, especially if you're on Facebook, yes or no, if you are in favor or not in favor. And we'll tally those up in the next couple segments and let you know.
I just want to kind of know if you're in favor of the tax reform, say yes. If you're not in favor of it, say no. We want to kind of get a tally on this.
I think it's important to point out to the Pete Kings of the world, until they know the specifics, their constituents may be getting enough of a tax cut that they may not have that write-off for their state and local taxes anymore as a deduction, but their tax cut at the federal level may be so significant that, again, unless you're talking about the highest of highest earners in his district, which, again, they're not the ones really suffering under any kind of these tax plans, that you may actually see, as Stan said, not just neutral, but they may actually still be getting a cut even with that deduction removed. But all of this is part of the back and forth. Remember, when these plans get released initially, and I think that's what we're asking the yes or no question about. That's why I jumped in. The yes or no is if this plan could get through 100%, you know, are you supporting it? There's obviously going to be – there's moments along the way where, you know, groups like us, we keep looking at it. So there are kind of lines everybody draws individually about – the individual side, the corporate side, the small business side. But as it stands right now, do you like the basics that have been laid out? Is this a starting point you like to be working from? And I think that is the big yes or no question. Then you get to the nitty-gritty, which we'll continue to update people on. This is a process they're looking at, you know, what, Thanksgiving, possibly end of the year being done. So not something they're trying to rush through in a week.
Though. Right.
Not something they're trying to rush through in a week.
We got a lot of calls coming in and comments pouring in. Again, if you're in favor of the tax plan, say yes. If you're not so in favor of it, or you've got questions, or you're concerned, or you're hedging, or you say no, just say no. We want to kind of get a sense from our audience. All right, Logan, let's go to the phones. We got a lot of those coming in.
Yeah, let's go to Darlene in Tennessee on line five. This question's coming up a lot on social media. I figure let's just get it out of the way. Darlene, you're on the air.
Hey, Darlene.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, my question would be, how will this affect the single senior citizen who has no dependents to claim?
Yeah, so you're not going to, if anything, this should take reduced tax burden because the rates are going to be dropped and the standard deduction that you would be able to take is going to go up. So if you're not itemizing, if you're on fixed income and not itemizing, you should fare better. Now, I say that with one caveat, Darlene, and that is we still don't know where the percentages on the tax, the three tax rates, are going to come in. In other words, what is the income point upon which those come in? And that's why we need you. We're going to be working to make this as family friendly as we can to help America families and middle, and especially middle class that's really always taking the highest burden on individual expenses. And of course, the tax, remember, 80% of the taxes are paid by the wealthy. But the fact is, that's fine. But the problem is, and this is where people don't understand, is the wealthy can afford it. It's harder for the middle class. Even though it's a lower percentage of actual dollars raised, the impact on those dollars on the middle class is significant. We're completely cognizant of that. We understand that. And that's why we're looking at this as tax lawyers. As I said, my first job out of law school was chief counsel's office of the IRS. I've been doing tax law for 39 years almost, so 38 years. So we're very concerned of the impact this has on families.
And I don't think you want to take away that side of the corporate tax cut and the small business tax cut and even the deduction off large equipment for 5 years. That would be a boom in our country. If businesses could
write
pay
off
for
giant
pieces of equipment and write off that cost 100% temporarily. So they'd have to make these decisions, not forever, but for 5 years, you would see a boom in purchasing in our country, growth. Those are machinery that requires people to operate, requires people to build. I mean, so down the line, you don't just want to look at the individual side of this, though that is where most constituents for these elected officials are going to look first.
But the businesses have a huge impact. It's all employs the individuals.
I mean, you could cut all of our taxes, and if the companies go bust, so what then? Because none of us have any money to pay, you know, to pay taxes with.
Yep.
You want people to get up into the higher tax brackets.
Sure.
In a sense, that's a good thing for the country and a good thing for the individual. We want you to rise up through the system.
Yeah.
More top earners.
All right. Do we have, Than, a sense of timing at all on when this could be heard?
We do generally. I mean, Thursday, the Budget Committee is going to pass out the vehicle for it, the reconciliation package. And then the following week, Jay, they're going to go immediately into hearings. Jordan mentioned maybe between Thanksgiving and the end of the year for House passage. I think that is the goal, but just to be realistic with our people, that's an aggressive goal. So if it starts to slip beyond that, I don't think you need to panic. I think they're in this for the long run.
Well, we need to. I mean, I want to see this done for the American people. I think this is an important initiative by the president here. and important for the American people, whether you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, whatever party you affiliate with. This goes beyond that. All right, Logan, let's go. I think we should grab a call.
All right, let's just let's take the person about to hold the longest. Let's go to Carrie, who's calling in Arizona on line three.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi, thank you.
Yep.
My question is regarding, you know, they reformed the tax code. That would be wonderful. But, you know, we've had problems with the IRS and, you know, trying to get 501c3s approved and whatnot. So is there a plan to revamp this governmental agency or just leave the same?
So when you simplify the tax code, you effectively are revamping the Internal Revenue Service because you give the IRS less leeway to maneuver in an inappropriate way. Now, the agency is a lot different than it was before we filed those lawsuits, which we've had great success on, and we're very close to getting wrapped up. Hope to have that announced in the next couple of weeks. But I will tell you, it's a very different agency. But simplifying the tax code, simplifying your tax return, it directly impacts the ability on the IRS. It simplifies the IRS's capacity. So while this isn't a reformation of the Internal Revenue Service, which I think is probably at this point not going to happen in this term of Congress, but starting with the tax code, if you simplify the code and you make it straightforward, and then they're eliminating a lot of deductions that are the loophole deductions that most people aren't impacted by, that goes a long way in really limiting the IRS's capacity to engage this. So that's how I would answer that one. Is that fair?
I think so.
You think I could grab another call in a minute and 25 seconds?
Is there any that are really quick? Let's go to Debbie really quick in Boise, Idaho.
Trying to open the lines up. Yep, Debbie, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. I love you and pray for you and support
Thanks.
You. I just want to say thank you for all you do. My question is, we're a small business owner, and we're about 60 to 65,000 yearly, but we get hit with taxes really bad. Is that going to help us at all?
Yeah, they're really trying to remove the burden on the small businesses because you just said it, and you're the employer, and Jordan was talking about this earlier or yesterday. It gets overlooked in this because everybody talks about individual constituents, but a small business, in your case, a revenue or income of $65,000 in your business, or I don't know what your topside revenue is, maybe it's $115,000. Yeah, you can get taxed right out of business. I mean, that's the problem. So this is going to go a long way in helping that.
Yeah, because you're certainly not right now expanding that business. Even if you have a good year, that's just a year where maybe you're taking in some profits. You're now, you know, under this kind of plan where you'd have a 15%
deduction,
potentially. And your taxes, you could actually be looking at not just making more, but expanding your business, adding more employees.
On $65,000, 15% is almost $10,000. That's a lot of money. That's what you're talking about. That's why this matters at every level. All right, we'll take calls when we come back from the break.
That's right. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
All right, so we're talking about tax reform, as is the president, and we thought today would be a good day, especially on this Friday, to give you input on this because we want to know what's on your mind on this. We've kind of covered the basics, but now we're getting into some specifics. And remember, the specifics haven't been drawn up yet, so this is new. This is a framework talking about the three rates, 12, 25, and 35%, with a possible fourth tier for people over $5 million. It's new with regard to doubling the standard deduction to $24,000, eliminating the state income tax deducting, maintaining the charitable contribution deduction, and also the home mortgage interest deduction. So there's a lot of this at play. And Logan will remind you, we're also taking a poll. So tell everybody about, we want to know, you know, where you are on this, and that helps us as we work forward on this.
I have to say that it's overwhelmingly leaning a direction, but if you're on Facebook, you can obviously go ahead and put in whether yes, you're for, or no, that you're against. On Twitter, you can just vote at Jay Sekulow on our poll. So go ahead and do that now.
All right. Are we hearing from people on that?
We are.
Okay.
Do you want to do it now or wait?
Well, wait. Let's go ahead and take a call.
All right. Let's go to Greg, who's calling in Denver, Colorado.
Hi, Greg.
Line 4.
Hi. How you doing?
Good, sir.
I would just like to make a point about how we distribute money in America is based on the census. So therefore, if you start, which counts illegals and green cards. So L.A. steals money from upstate Cali, New York from upstate New York. But now they're complaining about that they want to write off taxes that are high in their state that I can't vote on.
Well, right. I don't think that – here's the thing with the problem with the state income tax deduction. If you live in a high state income tax state, why should the rest of us be subsidizing that? That's a decision you made based on your business or based on your personal decisions, and maybe your local government and state government needs to be more efficient. But why should we, the American people, in the other states, have to subsidize you? Because that's what you're doing when you make it a deduction. It is a form of subsidy. Why would we subsidize your tax burden on the state level? To me, that never made sense. But again, this is. But I will tell you, and Jordan will address this. And then it's a big political issue in this whole discussion.
Well, it's because there's a sliding scale of this. You know, I'd say for most people out there in the red states, most of you still have some kind of, you know, state income tax. It's pretty low. So not being able to write that off, but getting the deductions like this, getting the tax cuts like this, is much more significant. We're talking about basically a handful of coastal states. And by the way, not all coastal states, because Florida is a zero income tax state. I mean,
right.
So it is New York's and California's primarily.
Big burdens.
Huge tax burdens, not even just at the state level, at the city level as well. So the municipal taxes. And that's what that caller is referencing, is that there are plenty of counties in California. It's a huge state. And in New York, where the city tax is very low, or the county tax is very low, so they pay a higher state tax, but they feel like they're subsidizing, that they're getting, again, they're having to worry about what people in New York City or the boroughs of New York are paying versus if you live in upstate New York. And I think that there's, again, this is the debate that has to happen amongst, really it's 33 Republicans out of the U.S. House, who have to deal with this. Remember, if you're excluding all Democrats, and you could lose 22 of those and still put this through. Now the question is, could you keep 11? Could you keep the rest of them?
Well, I was going to ask that. Let's ask that to Fan. So I think the state income tax issue is going to be one. And again, I question why it should be, because why should we be subsidizing higher state income tax locales? But having said that, I think there's no question that as you look at the politics of it, and that's what you have to look at here as part of this, is you got to look at the politics of it, that's going to be an issue.
Well, the vast majority of America is going to see it as Greg does, but to get it passed, you're going to have to do it in a way that is palatable to at least some of those Republicans. And Jay, I think the very clear way to do it is present a package that, yes, removes the deduction, but also lowers the rate so those members can go back to their individual's constituents and say, look, your overall tax burden is either neutral or minimized. Yes, you lost the deduction, but you also lowered your rates. That's a deal they're going to like. And the fringe benefit, though, Jay, or maybe even the primary benefit, then it's going to create competition in the states. You look at the states that are failing, which ones are they? They're the high tax states. With this change, I think that would start to change.
All right, let's go ahead and grab another call, Logan.
All right, let's go to Nate in California on line 1.
Hi, Nate. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. Thank you for taking my call, and thanks for everything that you do. With the Congress, the way that it is, and you know, people not being able to trust them, they can't get health care reform passed. What makes us think that they can do a tax reform?
I don't take anything for granted here, so I'm with you on the factor of getting it through. That's why we're going to have to be, and I'm really in favor of tax reform here. I think it's necessary for the American people, and I really think it should be focusing on the middle class in the United States, those that have that tax burden, which is, even though, again, proportionality of that percentage of taxes paid is the wealthy. The fact is the burden is greater on the individual families in the middle class, and that's why the president is focusing on the middle class. So it's not a question of trust. I don't even think it's trust and verify. I think we got to help them draft this. You've got a framework. That's all you have right now is a framework. That's what this is. We have nothing filled in the blanks. In other words, we know 12, 25, 35%. We don't know where those kick in. We know 24,000 for the standard deduction for a family. Again, but we still don't know where the tax rates will kick in. We know that they're going to eliminate the income tax deduction for state income taxes, but maintain it for charitable and for mortgage interest, but we also know that there's going to be pushback on that. So a lot of this is filling in.
Yeah, and it's tough to estimate where, you know, if you called and gave us your income level, it's tough to estimate when you had seven and you're taking it down to three, who's going to fall within, you know, that middle bracket, and which is where you're talking about, which middle class, and who's going to hit that top bracket, which maybe some people who still are, depending on what state you live in and the cost of living, still may be middle class. It depends on, is that top rate really the top rate? Because the way it's written, it might not be. So the top rate on this may be look something like how today's is, where it's like 250 for an individual, 500 plus for a family could start hitting that higher.
Yeah.
You know, when you reduce the rates like this into three, you're going to have to figure out exactly where the line is. And people will also kind of
and that's part of the negotiations,
right,
too.
Yeah, I mean, that's very important, depending on, like, if you went from – maybe you're right now out of the seven categories, you're paying close to 28-30%. You're gonna get maybe a 10% tax cut here.
That's a big number. So Dan, which committees are gonna be in charge of all this?
House Ways and Means and Senate Finance. The House Budget Committee takes the first crack next week, but the things that Jordan is talking about are gonna come out of House Ways and Means and Senate Finance.
So, and we will be heavily, and Dan, we're gonna be heavily engaged in these discussions. Yeah. You already have been having
those conversations, especially you remember yesterday all those calls about people that lower 12% bracket. We're having that conversation today.
Okay, so we're fully engaged in that, folks. All right, we're here for another 30 minutes. Logan's gonna let you know what you could do to make sure you get the whole hour of the broadcast, and I'm gonna ask you to do something help out the ACLJ here at the end of the month.
That's right. Most of you do get the full hour on your local station, but if you don't or if you just want to change it up, you can find us broadcasting live on social media. That's at facebook.com/jseculo, Periscope, or Twitter at jseculo, on the ACLJ app, available in the App Store for iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, or Roku, where you can get it archived as well as on the jseculo podcast. But live for the next 30 minutes, you can find us broadcasting live on social media. That's at facebook.com/jseculo.
All right, so we just made a critical intervention at the United Nations on the issue of genocide, taking direct actions to defend Christians in the Middle East and other religious minorities. And we are, as I said, we are following that up with more legal work on that issue. We've got an email that's out on that. We'd encourage you to respond. We're in the last couple of days of the month. Go to ACLJ.org. When you donate to us, that helps not only keep us in the fight, but allows us to affect issues and cases around the globe, literally around the globe. We've been talking about domestic tax reform. Meanwhile, our team has also been intervening at the UN Human Rights Council on behalf of those being persecuted for their faith. So go to ACLJ.org, support the ACLJ, especially these next 2 days.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
All right, so we're talking tax reform, and we want your input on this because the fact of the matter is there's a general structure, but there is not the specifics, and your voice on the specifics can make a big difference, and we could be your voice on that. We know that they're talking about three tax rates at 12, 25, and 35, a possible fourth tier for people. They were talking about in excess of $5 million. We know that the standard deduction will be doubled to $24,000. We know that charitable contributions and mortgage interest deductions will still be allowed, but state income tax deductions will not be allowed. So we are going to be able to fill in the blanks on this, so to speak, or at least work on that. Fan said during our break on Facebook and Periscope, and I want to reiterate it here, that we are already in those conversations. So your voice on this through us at the ACLJ is already being heard. Fan, why don't you give everybody kind of a quick update as to the process is already unfolding.
Sure. The legislative text will be written in the committees. And we had conversations yesterday about calls we took on the show about some concern about that lowest bracket being 12%. Of course, a lot of that's offset by the standard deduction, but we made an inquiry with the committees. Look, when you're setting the lines, when you're setting the income brackets, you've got to make sure that that trade-off is a net plus for those taxpayers. They received that very positively, Jay, but that will be one of the things that we track when we see legislative text. Do those low-income earners actually come out ahead when that net trade is made? We've got to keep an eye on it all the way through to enactment.
And I think, look, I think it's important. I think you can't have the folks at the lowest end of the income spectrum under a tax reform paying more tax dollars. That makes no sense. Yeah. As I said, the reason I like middle class, I mean, look, I want tax breaks, tax reduction across the board. I think is good for America because when it affects the high end earners, that gets more money into the economy. And for businesses, obviously, and we barely touched on the businesses, but listen, you reduce the tax burden by 10 or 15% for a company, you're talking about net dollars available for equipment or being able to write off equipment you purchase in the year that you purchase it. You have no idea how big that is. Yeah.
100% write off. And it's for 5 years. So you're talking about a boom in the economy, which will affect everyone. When we talk about making sure it's still a tax cut for the lower earners, we're talking about the lower earners who still pay taxes.
Yep.
Because there's a big chunk of individuals, like you said, 80% of taxes are paid for by the highest earners.
Right.
There's a big chunk of people who pays effectively no taxes under even the current tax plan. Under this tax plan, that group is going to expand. There's a lot of people listening to this broadcast right now who will not be paying any federal taxes if this plan were to pass, who may be paying small percentages now, 10% or less right now, who would be paying zero at the federal level. Still, none of your benefits would be impacted, but we do have, like, the calls, like Brian from Connecticut, calling from a blue state, which I think, but again, it's a point that has to be understood on line two, because there are people that care about debts and deficits.
Let's go take Brian's call. Brian, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, I just question how is this overall the big picture work. I heard a quote from somebody that everybody's getting a tax cut. I heard $1,000. So you have a person who everybody pays $1,000 in less. How do you make up the difference? So I'm just looking.
They're trying to be revenue neutral, which means that, in other words, they don't want it to create. But the idea is, as businesses can expand, for instance, writing off your equipment means you're going to do what? Buy more equipment. Yeah. When you can buy more equipment, what does that mean? More people can work that equipment, and more people can manufacture that equipment.
More people are in tax brackets and paying taxes.
Yeah, so you're up. If from the bottom up, if you raise people's income because things are better, employers can pay more, they get into another tax bracket. Listen, it's a great problem to have, to be pushed into a higher tax bracket, not because the tax bracket has been raised, but because your income has been raised or the profits of your company have gone up. So I think that's why you've got to look at this very holistically on the economy. How does all of that impact? But very quickly, Than, timing again, very important here. When are we thinking this is going to be? Any chance of this being retroactive, or do you think it's going to be effective on signing?
I think it'll be effective on signing. There is some talk of retroactivity. I don't think it's a big chance. I'd just say quickly this, Jay. If you remove the corporate tax from 35% to beneath the industrialized average around the world,
which is 22%,
jobs, that's how you get the revenue.
No question about it. All right, we are still taking a poll. So, again, this will be the last thing that we can do that. Are you in favor of tax reform? Yes. If you're not in favor of it, no. Facebook and Periscope, great way to do it. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. At aclj.org. Well, we're talking about that. Filed a brand new lawsuit involving Samantha Powers and that whole unmasking issue. Our team at the UN has intervened orally and made oral arguments on the issue of genocide. So, a lot of work going on across the board at the ACLJ. Support the work at aclj.org.
This is a critical time for our nation. and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Again, a lot of response. Man, our phone lines have been jammed on this issue of tax reform and what it means domestically for the American people. We're going to go right back to the phones, and we'll take some Facebook comments as well. The polling, this is your last moment. So if you're going to vote yes in favor of tax reform, you say yes, no if you're not, and we'll tally that up effective in about 2 minutes. We'll start the tallying process. But Logan, we're going to go right to, we got a lot of calls.
All right, let's go to Michael in New Mexico on line five.
Hi, Michael. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. Two questions. On the business side, does the 15% minimum change, does that go down? And on the personal side, do the personal mileage deductions for business miles and medical expenses, do those go away?
I don't think there's no indication on the corporate side that they're going to reduce deductibility of ordinary and necessary business expenses. So what's deemed ordinary and necessary in the existing code, it's not. I don't see that going away. So when you're talking about what personal and you're going to have the increase of your ability, Michael, in your business to write off an expense of a piece of equipment you buy and write it off. I mean, right now, if you buy a microphone, for instance, you're having to depreciate. You could pay for it, but you got to do it over a period of years. I mean, it's just the way that the depreciation works. Now you're going to be able to depreciate it or write it off immediately and not phase it in. That's a big plus for businesses. So I don't see any negative there on the business side at all. Reduce the tax burden on businesses is good for the American people and good for the American economy.
All right. Do you want to take some more calls?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Donna, who's calling in Pittsburgh. You're on the air. Line six.
Hi, Donna. Go ahead.
Hi, Mr. Sekulow. The gentleman just before you had asked a question I was interested in. I am an independent freelance writer out of my home. I have a home office.
Yep.
I haven't heard anything about altering the deductions, and I'm also curious, is will I still be able to deduct my health expenses? Because as an independent business owner, I have to pay out of pocket everything. So that's far for the last few years since Obamacare.
Well, have you been deducting your health insurance costs now?
Yes.
Okay, so that must be the way I'm not giving tax advice here. That must be the way you're structured your business, which is you're a freelance writer, but you have a business that's allowing you to do that. So, again, I don't see those.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you were doing on the medical side, and this will have to be cleared up. But we said this yesterday once. If you were at an economic position to deduct those expenses now. We don't imagine that changing.
But the pass-through tax deduction is going to reduction in pass-through income
change
is going to be
because
huge
you
for
might
her.
Be at a different level of income. So much so that these deductions that you were eligible for, you may not be anymore, but you're now saving so much in taxes. It's a huge net positive.
Well, it would be at least a 10% saving for her right off the top. at least.
Yeah, we don't know exactly how she's structured, but it's very likely, yeah. Jay, that she's paying 39.5% on a lot of that business revenue. The pass-through tax drops down to 25%. In all likelihood, she's getting a 14.5% increase. So some of the deductibility isn't quite as important if you're getting that kind of massive cut.
Well, that's the thing. Remember, you're weighing here the tax cuts versus will the tax cuts make up for deductions that may or may be eliminated? And we don't have the details of this, so that's why we're engaging it now.
On the corporate side, on the corporate deductions, we've had some new deductions discussed, like how you can deduct 100% of a new acquisition of like equipment.
Yep.
Which again, you can imagine. I mean, those we're talking millions of dollars purchases that requires lots of people to make them, companies to build them,
yep.
People to operate them. But what we haven't gotten in that list is all of the other corporate deductions.
Don't know.
And that's what a lot of you as small business owners are asking about when you ask about like medical expenses. I was just asked this offline. Those are really on the small business or corporate side deductions. Yep. Would not be included in what they're saying about the individual deductions.
Right, because it's not individually deductible as it is. You'd have
right.
to be set up
all of
as
us
a corporation.
Can't do that.
Right.
You have to do that through a different entity.
Yep. So, all right, we're taking your calls. 800-684-3110. We've closed out the poll. We do have one. I mean, I just saw one. Jim Brown said no to tax reform, so he likes the system the way it is. I'm sure there's some of those. And that's why we want to take the poll and get your sense of it. We'll get into particulars when we get more particulars. You want to take another call? You want to take a comment, Logan?
We can take a comment. A lot of people are commenting. Cutting taxes is great for the economy. That came from Jamie.
Yep.
How many votes they need the Senate to pass this? Uh-huh. That's from Celia.
Fan, how many votes are they going to need to pass this in the United States Senate?
Have you heard this before, Jay? You need 50 votes plus the vice president's under reconciliation. Now, it is easier to do this under reconciliation than Obamacare because you don't lose it. It's all budgetary in nature. But guess what? You either need Democrats or you need some Republican votes you couldn't get on Obamacare.
So do we have any – I shudder to even say this. Do we have any Republicans in the United States Senate that we're looking at that are probably no votes on tax reform?
At this point, Jay, I believe you have 52 Republicans in favor of this framework. But when the technical details come
really
in and
this.
Look,
folks,
right at the start of this one, it's going to be the state deductibility. That'll be the first one out of
yes,
the gate.
We are going to have to stay on this, even tax reform. I mean, you'd think it must be easy. And I would hope you get some Democratic support from this. I don't know if you will, but the president's looking to do this bipartisan if possible.
I mean, I think there's a couple of Democrats like Joe Donnelly, Indiana, yep. Joe Manchin, West Virginia. I think there are a couple at the Senate level.
That would be helpful.
There's probably some at the House level as well like that. I mean, that will all come together based off specifics because at the House level, they're speaking to, you know, it's about their constituents. So what are their constituents like economically? What's kind of states are they coming from, a red state or a blue state Democrat? But I think these more red state Democrats are going to have to take a tougher look at it. The Chuck Schumer types, they're already railing against this. I mean,
yep.
So that it's not going to be bipartisan of everybody. The majority
right.
of Democrats are not coming on board with this.
Yep.
They're not. But you could, if you pick off just a handful in the House and the Senate just get a couple, you've now built in enough of a framework where you can easily right. pass this.
Yep.
Gary asked on Facebook, why would anyone be against the tax cuts?
Well, I mean, people are concerned that here's the concern that some people have in lower income tax brackets. It goes from 10% to 12%. So people are immediately thinking in the lower threshold of income, am I going to be paying more taxes? So it's this unknown. And that's why the rollout's fine, but you've got to get to the particulars. And I think that the burden, our position is there should be no increase and should be a decreased burden on all brackets, but especially the middle class and the lower income brackets. That's, again, while it's disproportionate as far as the sheer number, in other words, you have more numbers of people fewer people are paying more taxes. In other words, the wealthy pay more taxes proportionally, but the impact of those taxes on the middle class and the lower class are greater. So I think from a family fairness standpoint, you want to reduce that burden there. That's got to be the focus of this tax reform, in my view. Let's go ahead and take a call.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Ray, who's going to hold about a half hour. Thanks, Ray.
Hey, Ray, go ahead.
Ray, you there?
Hello.
Go ahead. Go ahead with your comment,
thank
Ray.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I've been doing income taxes for 30 years,
yep.
and I can see nothing but a plus in so far as the doubling or when you double your standard deduction,
yep.
you will have more people paying less tax or no taxes. And one thing I haven't heard addressed is the taxability of Social Security.
So I don't think
you see.
Do you see? So far, I haven't seen anything that impacts the change on that. But I had a question actually for you, Ray, as a tax preparer. So on the itemization, increasing the standard deduction from $12,000 to $24,000, how big is that for most people that when they're in that decision of are they itemizing or standard deduction? I mean, how significant is it?
Well, from what I've seen, you will have more people not able to itemize because your standard deduction will be increased.
Right.
So with that, and they'll actually be better off with that. They have less paperwork, less everything else.
Yeah.
And so
that's
and
good to know
people
that.
People who do not itemize, their standard deduction will also increase. You know, so they will end up paying less tax if. In many cases, no taxes at all.
Yeah.
And also with the doubling, from my understanding, I heard that you're going to double the child tax credit.
Correct.
And if that goes in, if that actually passes, we'll have even fewer people paying zero.
So that's Ray, I really appreciate you calling in. I appreciate you staying on hold because there, it raised a tax preparer. And this is where you're trying to, how does this impact the American people? And this is what you're trying to figure out.
If less people are paying any taxes, that's huge. I mean, that is huge for people who right now, we're talking about people who are right now having to pay some taxes and then people getting zeroed out, not having to pay any taxes at all once they've filed their standard deduction, which is pretty easy to do under this plan. I mean, they're talking about a postcard type situation. I mean, now, I think he was talking about the Social Security tax, no change on the Social Security tax in this plan because that is a separate tax. You know, there's the individual, there's the corporate, there's the small business. The Social Security tax is a payroll tax that's paid for by the employer and the employee.
Right.
That would be a totally different. And that is when you get into Social Security, and that's a much lower tax percent number.
But
anyway.
Yes, when you get go ahead, you can finish your thought.
Yeah, when you get into Social Security, anything people kind of have a breakdown on the issue.
Yeah.
So I think keeping that as a separate debate for. You need to do comprehensive tax reform
and
other issues and health care before you start touching even reform.
And fam, we don't want them combining health care with Social Security, correct?
Or taxes.
Wait, with tax reform? No, because they couldn't get Obamacare through. I think they need to do this on its own track.
I'm with you. All right, last segment of the broadcast, Logan. We'll take calls on the topic.
That's right. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Only a couple lines open right now, 1-800-684-3110. You can still get your comments in. You can still vote on Twitter on that poll at Jay Sekulow.
We'll let them vote through the break.
Well, we can't shut down that.
You can't shut it down?
Well, you have a specific time frame. It ends in 27 minutes. Unfortunately, we just set it for an hour. So.
Okay, there you
go. But we can wrap it up internally and just say it.
We'll say where it is.
Yeah. Twitter, all right. At Jay Sekulow.
That's why you do that. All right, we'll be back with more, including your calls. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ, ACLJ.org. Back with more, including your calls, at 800-684-3110.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online aclj.org.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the broadcast. Taking your calls on this. It's our last segment, so we go through these calls quickly with your comments also. Logan, you want to give the poll results? Boy, Twitter had a big Twitter, we had more response on Twitter than you'd get for these presidential polls, where they say, we talked to 665 potential voters, or registered voters. We'd actually spoke
to. Yeah, it's still running on close to 1,000. We're at 937 people have voted so far.
That's pretty good.
A few minutes still left on that, so if you wanted to go vote, you can still have your voice heard at Twitter, at Jay Sekulow. On Twitter, you said, are you in favor of the president's new tax reform? And 91% of those people said yes, and 9% said no. What I find interesting is that your audience on Twitter is not exclusively people that like you.
You mean there are people that dislike me on Twitter?
Yeah, but well, I mean, just like you follow people that you want to hear all sides, especially if you're newsworthy. So it's interesting that people responded. I wasn't sure it was going to go one way or the other based on the fact that, you know, there's close to 170,000 people that are on your Twitter. Not all those people are
fans,
right? So, but still, 91%
said
yes.
We'll talk to people that don't like us.
Well, I mean, you have no choice on Twitter. Yeah. 137 people though voted yes on Facebook, while only 9 voted no. 20 said they needed more time. And
all right,
more info.
Well, that's fair too. All right, let's go ahead and take calls. 800-684-3110. Let's go right back to them.
John in Washington, College Place, line 4. You're on the air.
Hi, John.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Good,
thanks,
sir.
For all you do.
Thanks.
I'm so in favor of tax reform. I'm disappointed we didn't get Obamacare repealed,
yep.
But I think you can show people where you didn't get some help with your health care cost. Now you've got some help with the tax reform. So I'm so in favor of that.
Yeah, you give people more money. It helps with all their other outside costs that they have incurred as being, you know, as part of also, you know, some of the issues with Obamacare. And I think the president's also looking at ways to help there. You know, the across state lines executive order he's discussed. So, I mean, they're short term. And as we discussed yesterday, don't forget the health care issue. I think we've gotten to the Senate Republicans are at least willing to open up a reconciliation if they get to 50 and could use Vice President Pence for the 51st vote. So that is not going away. I think that at any moment that could pop right back up. But at the same time, I do believe that on this issue, this could reinvigorate all of these other issues. It's like, if you can get comprehensive tax reform done, you should be able to repeal and replace Obamacare.
Well, the president's being really specific about what he wants you to do on this to start this process, and let's play it.
Call your congressmen. Call your senators. Let them know you're watching. Let them know you're waiting. Tell them that today is the day for decision, that now is the time to heal this self-inflicted economic wound, and that with their action, the future will belong to all of us. If you demand it, the politicians will listen. They will answer, and they will act.
Very direct words from the President of the United States, Stan. So, he is putting I'm with him on this. The American people have to be speaking out on this. And friends of mine on the left of center, why would you argue about lessening the burden of taxes on the middle class or lower income individuals in our country? What's the argument on that? And the argument they're going to say is, well, we want more taxes being paid by the upper ends. And the problem, of course, with that is that impacts the economy too in a negative way. So even if they kept the tax rates, you're talking about a 4%. Reduction for people at the higher end of income, 39% to 35%. You may even have an additional tax on people making over $5 million a year, where there'll be a fourth bracket. I mean, to me, it's hard to argue with it, but then the president's calling for people to start contacting their congressman and say, get on this. Start working
on
this.
Well, he's exactly right. And your comments, Jay, is exactly where I was going to go. On the Republican side of the aisle, if you're not for lower rates and simplification, then you're not a Republican. And, Jay, let's just hypothetically say you're the Democratic governor from, I don't know, Indiana or West Virginia. If your constituents' rates are going to go down and it's going to be revenue neutral, you better vote for that package or you're not going to be the senator from there for much longer.
I think that's right. All right, back to the phones, Logan.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Kathy in Idaho, line 1.
Kathy, go ahead. You're on.
Hey, I'd like to address the unemployment tax for small businesses.
Yep.
I pay that for the company and for my employees,
yep.
And we will never be able to draw from that.
Yeah, so, I mean, well, that you do, you know, here's the problem. That's not part of this. I mean, that's not changed. Jordan Chaykin said, if you start putting in the employer contribution leveled on the unemployment tax and start putting that into this reform package, it's just not going to happen. It's going to stall the whole thing up. And
yeah.
I really think this needs to be focusing on general business, as it is small business companies,
top line
taxes, and also on the individuals.
Yeah, with a few special things like that should garner big support, like a 5-year 100% deduction for new purchases of equipment. I mean, so we're talking, you know, this equipment is very expensive. So not forever, because forever would not be sustainable. A lot of you have asked, how is this sustainable? Well, a deduction like that, which is huge, is temporary.
It's to kindle the start.
You allow companies to kind of refurbish, corporations to modernize, not forever, but so they have to spend in those 5 years. You're forcing companies to be spenders. That means other companies are making money from that spending, and other people have jobs because you're buying equipment. I mean, so we talk about making things in America.
Yep.
You got to give incentives to buy.
And to manufacture.
And to manufacture. This,
yep.
I mean, people would be, everybody would be modernizing in the
no
corporate
question.
World.
I think there's no question about that.
In 5 years, we could deduct all of that modernization 100%.
All right. Next call.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Blake in South Carolina.
Blake, you're on the air. Hey, Blake,
you there?
Hey, Mr. Seculo. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm right here. Thank you so much for all that you do for people around the world. I'm curious about, with this 3-tiered tax system, are we going to see the eradication of alternative minimum tax?
Yeah, so both the estate tax and the alternative minimum tax are gone under this proposal. And that's another big one. And that's a huge thing for small businesses that are trying to pass their businesses on, especially to families, because the estate giving on that, the taxing on that could literally put those companies out of business.
Yeah, and no more having to do two taxes and saying, which one is higher because I got to pay that. So when you get rid of the alternative minimum, it sounds like a nice thing, but it's not been a good thing at all.
AMT is not good.
And so getting rid of that also means less complications with doing your taxes and filing your taxes.
All right. Continuing on, let's go to Hayden, who's calling in Montana on line 6 quickly.
Hi, Hayden, go ahead.
Hey, thanks so much for taking my call. The question is relative to exempting or taking away the state income tax deduction.
Yep.
Doesn't that introduce double taxation?
Well, not double taxation in the sense that the federal government doing twice. The real double taxation of the state income tax deduction is this. If you got a state that has a high income tax and you get to deduct it from your federal income tax returns, the rest of us are paying that. There's got to be revenue produced.
We're balancing that out.
So it's not a double tax at all. In fact, I think what it's going to do is force these big states like New York and California to start operating more efficiently. But there will be there's going to be a political fight on those state income taxes. We can already tell.
You've got to make sure you offset it for those states. But I'll make a prediction. If this passes, Jay, you know what's going to happen? Those high state taxes, some of those are going to start edging down. That
or
would be another good thing.
Or people are going to start leaving those states as they already are. I mean, as they already are. All right, that does it for the broadcast today. Logan's going to let you know the multiple ways you can engage with us, and don't forget to support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org.
Yeah, you should follow us on social media for over the weekend at Jay Sekulow, at Jordan Sekulow, at Logan Sekulow, at ACLJ on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/JaySekulow. Search for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jordan Sekulow. You can find us on all social media. You can also find us everything you need at aclj.org. The ACLJ app available in the App Store on iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, in the Roku channel store. There's an ACLJ channel, so you can find it, download it there, and subscribe to the Jay Sekulow Live podcast available on iTunes, where you can catch up on all this week's shows and continue to get it straight to your phone each and every day.
Do you dream about this at night?
It's what I live for.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.